The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Der versucht, Goretzka und Müller einzusetzen. Ball prallt zurück zu Musiala. Musiala auf Goretzka. Timo Werner abgeprallt. Goretzka, Tor! 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 Deutschland 2! Ungarn 2! Das war ein Kraftakt! Das war Goretzka! Muskelmann Goretzka bringt Deutschland zurück ins Turnier! Und der Junior Musiala ist maßgeblich an der Vorbereitung dieses Turniers.
Welcome into the ESPN FC Studios alongside Steve Nichol, Don Hutchinson, Casey Keller. I'm Sebastian Salazar on a very, very special day. The last day of the group phase of the European Championships. But maybe more importantly, the last day of Don Hutchinson
in Spain. I thought you were going to get there.
Yeah. Tomorrow, mate, yeah. This is my best outfit as well.
Just like Scotland, going home early, yeah?
Oh, Sebi.
No, not at all.
Hey, good job you sat over there.
Yeah, well, social distancing.
Seb, there's a reason he had his flights booked.
There you go.
So the bosses were smart, you see. They got me in for the first 2 weeks. Scotland go home. Frank Leboeuf then comes in.
Right.
Perfect management.
Perfect. We will actually hear from Frank Leboeuf a little bit later in the show, but let's get to the action. What a day in both Group E and Group F. But we got to start with the marquee matchup, Portugal and France. This one in Budapest, 27th minute. First bit of controversy here. Lloris comes out. Danilo Pereira gets on the wrong end of it. Penalty called. What do we think?
Look, it's a very hard one for the referee. I think Lloris just gets a little bit of the ball. It's one of them where you go, wow, that could go either way. But in my personal opinion, I didn't think that was a penalty.
Casey?
If he makes contact first, it's not a penalty.
Cristiano Ronaldo comes through, scores. we'll get to your take, Steve. We'll get to your take.
But this is not a penalty.
Just before the half, yeah. Mbappe and Nelson Semedo come together in the box.
Well, it's contact.
Oh, Casey, come on.
If the keepers can't challenge, then he can't challenge.
No, come on, no.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Mbappe's looking for it there, isn't he?
Every one of us has done that 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Nobody's expected to get a foul.
Benzema on to take it, converts. We would go to the half, 1-1. Into the second half, France strike quick.
What a ball. What a ball from Paul Pogba. Just in that channel. He had to time his run there, Benzema. You can see how tight it is, but look at the pass from Pogba. The weight of it is perfection. And I don't know why this guy doesn't get a lot of love, Karim Benzema. You have a conversation of the best strikers in the world and Harry Kane, Lukaku, etc. comes into it. This guy never gets a mention.
58th minute. French give it right back. Jules Koundé, hand up in the box. Ronaldo plays it across off his hand. Gotta be.
Just because of where that's very unnatural up over his head. Yeah.
There's no way your hand should be up there.
Yep.
Absolutely not. The penalty all day long.
No surprise who's going to take it. No surprise what he does.
Machine, isn't he? Absolutely.
Who do you want before him to take a penalty for you? I can't think of MD.
Pogba here in the 67th. What an effort.
Double save.
Oh.
Double save from Patricio.
You'd be happy with that first one.
Look at this one.
Right?
Yeah, that's the big save.
Oh.
Yeah. And then is able to have the composure to get up and get himself ready to make the save on the second one.
We have the penalties called. This one not called. Second half stoppage time.
100% a penalty.
Really?
Absolutely. Aye. Bruno Fernandes is not a good defender. Tracking Kingsley Coman back into the 18-yard box. Have a look at the contact on the calf. Just there. It's a definite penalty.
That's the most clear penalty of them all. If he doesn't call the foul before he gets into the box. If he allows the continuation, it's the clearest penalty of them all.
Aye.
Match finishes then 2-2. A result would be good enough at the end of the day for both sides. At one half of the action. in Group F. On the other side of things, Germany, Hungary. Germany could not lose. Hungary, the big underdogs in this group, with a win, would advance. 11th minute, the Hungarians go ahead. Would you believe it?
Incredible. Pressure was on Germany inside the Allianz Arena. Bad marking from Mats Hummels. You know, his body shape's got to be a bit side on. Awful defending. Great header, though, into that bottom right-hand corner.
Hungary would hold on to lead in the second half. Casey, what happens here?
It's called a flyby. Obviously, Gulácsi is a very good goalkeeper and just makes a bad decision and comes out, doesn't get there, doesn't get the touch, and Hummels keeps it alive, and Havertz then is able just to bundle it into the goal.
The equalizer and the joy of it wouldn't last long. Just about a minute later, Hungary go up 2-1. András Schäfer.
Well, that Germany back line is all over the shop. You got two dropping, one standing high. Just a ball put in behind. Look at Rüdiger. Hummels not covering. And that's a brave header. Neuer's coming out at him. Yeah, sticks his head in where it matters.
But I'm still not sure why Neuer's coming out there, because I don't know what he's going to do under pressure. Mm.
Credit Jogi Löw for putting Musiala off the bench. Teenager came off the bench and he was so calm picking the pass to Leon Goretzka, who then unselfishly laid it off. The shot then got a ricochet. And Goretzka, there's Musiala on the ball now. You know, the vision's really good. Gets a little bit of a deflection. But this guy, Leon Goretzka, over the last 18 months has been incredible. The amount of goals that he's scoring, big goals that he's scoring for Bayern, and that's huge for Germany.
Yeah, a big, big goal. At that point, down 2-1, the Germans were out. Thanks to the point, they will go through out of this group. Dominant in possession, 75%, but it took that late strike from Goretzka to get the Germans the point that they so desperately needed. Here's how Group F, after all is said and done, plays out. France with 5 points, your group winners. Germany in second. Portugal go through as one of the four third-place teams. All right, Don. We could talk about the games. We could talk about the teams. I think we probably got to start talking about the incidents. Which do you want to start with?
I thought, the Kingsley Coman one at the end in that game, I thought was incredible, really, because there were so many penalty decisions that were happening. And I thought that was the standout penalty. You know, three pens in the game, but the Kingsley Coman one, when Bruno Fernandes tracked him inside the 18-yard box, in my opinion, it was the clearest one of the three that was given. And this should have been spotted either by the referee, which difficult for him to spot in real time, but the VAR team surely have to instruct him to go and take a look at this. You can quite clearly see just on the back of the calf there, it's a clear foul from Bruno Fernandes. The Koundé one, as Stevie said, was a stonewall penalty. Mm. The first one's one of them where you look at it, and we watched it in real time, me and Stevie, and we went, that is definitely a penalty, on Danilo. Then we watched it again. Stevie still thinks it's a penalty, but I thought Lloris just got a little bit on the ball. But that was the one I was surprised if the referee and the VAR team didn't get right.
Stevie, going back to the Lloris penalty, you did think it was a pen.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I think the fact that he touches the ball after the header is just by chance, because he's nowhere near it. He's miles away. He's late. The ball's headed onto the side of his hand, yeah, and he follows through and punches the guy straight in the face. Now, the fact that the ball hits his hand, a lot of people say, well, it hit the goalie, but that's luck.
Yeah.
It's a late challenge, and it's reckless. It's absolutely reckless.
Now, if he wins the ball first, before,
that's fine.
Then, yeah, I have no qualms with it whatsoever. But
so you think it was a pen?
I think I see where it could have been a pen.
That doesn't sound like you think it was
a
pen.
I'm pretty sure 5 minutes ago you were agreeing with me saying that's not a pen.
Why? So you think he's just come out too late?
Yeah, I mean, seeing it for the fourth, fifth, sixth time, I see where it could have been a penalty.
Oh, that's on the fence, isn't it?
It is.
Come on, man, is it a pen or not?
Well, to be fair,
would you be upset if they
didn't
call it
against
you?
It's easy to be on the fence.
Well, I'd be upset at any penalty called against me, but
being a goalkeeper,
right. It's dead simple, right? He heads it.
He saves it.
The goalkeeper thinks,
and then there's contact.
The goalkeeper thinks he's coming to punch the ball.
Yes.
He's only got eyes for the ball, right?
Correct.
Player gets there first, heads it. He's still following through. And the fact, as I said, that the ball hits the goalie's fist is because it was a bad header.
So I come on a one-on-one. I slide. You hit it first. I save it. My momentum comes through and takes the guy out. Penalty?
I wish it was as simple as that.
Well, but...
I wish it was as simple as that.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying.
But it's not.
Yeah, that's why we're having a discussion about it.
Right, and the reason... you said it. The reason why you can understand why the penalty was given is because it's a reckless challenge.
Right.
And so when a referee says, I think that's a reckless challenge, then there's nothing else you can do to argue it's not.
It's
because
not,
you're not allowed it's to not challenge anybody in a reckless manner.
It's not a mistake, is it? You know, if I'm turning around and saying it's not a penalty, it's not a mistake.
Right.
You know, if I'm adamant it's not a pen because it's such a tough call. Yep. If you you go on social media and you poll 1,000 people, it's going to be split massively. I think it's that tight.
We got the goalie's perspective. Let's get the Frenchman's perspective. With us, we got Frank Leboeuf as well as Luis Garcia. We're going to hear from them both throughout the show. Frank, penalty or no?
Well, in my point of view, it's not a penalty, but I can agree with Stevie that it's a reckless challenge, that it's a tough call. Yeah, it's a tough call, and it's maybe 50-50. For me, as long as Lloris touches the ball, I don't care if it's randomly, as long as the goalkeeper touches the ball, there is no foul, because you cannot be sure. You just have to assume that it touches the ball just randomly. So can you say that Danilo touches the ball precisely as well? I think he just tried to avoid Lloris coming out, and the ball goes to his head. So it's a tough call, and I have to talk the last one on Coman wasn't given. When I see Bruno Fernandes shouting to Coman, complaining about supposedly Coman fainting the foul, whereas he's always the first to fall to cheat, and now he wants to convince the world that he didn't make any foul. Well, it's clearly the biggest foul we saw today on the penalty call. So, no, let's say for me it's a penalty on the first one. It's not a penalty on Mbappe for sure. Yeah, you can see that. The guy's gonna put his hand, gonna put down Coman, is gonna kick his shin. And goes to Coman, say, yeah, stop cheating. Where we saw him doing that all year long with Manchester United. So I don't know what that guy is looking for. He's always complaining, he's always crying, where he makes a clear foul. So please just try to avoid, you know, the scene. Just go hide somewhere and wait for the referee decision. It's much better, I think. But Mbappe, I have to say the same. I'm fed up seeing Mbappe falling for nothing. I mean, it's clear for me that it's a shoulder against shoulder, that Semedo doesn't try to push Mbappe. It's mostly Mbappe.
We'll save Mbappe for later. Luis, was it a penalty or not? We see you laughing throughout this.
Yeah, well, for me as a striker, even though the Danilo is not, I think it's a clear penalty. I mean, keeper arrived late, touched the player, so he has to be a clear penalty. I mean, you guys are talking about maybe if he touched the ball, the keeper touched the ball after the head, at the end he arrives late and it doesn't matter to point it. Yeah, Casey was mentioning if I touch the ball and then after I touch the play, it's a penalty or not, but this is not the case. I think it's clear that Danilo touched the ball and then the flexion from the head touched the hand of the keeper, but the keeper touched the head of the player. So I think it's a clear penalty.
All right, Frank, go on. Why is Mbappe diving?
Yes, of course. Of course. Well, I don't agree with Mr. Garcia or whatever. But yeah, you can see it's him running on Semedo. Let's go to that one. He goes on, Mbappe runs, and he goes on Semedo, and it's a shoulder against shoulder. So how come you can say it's a foul from Semedo? I mean, I love Kylian, it's our star, but please, it's not a foul. I was a defender. I would have been so upset if a referee would have given me that decision against me.
Because as a defender,
it's, for me, not a penalty for sure.
Sorry, Frank. As a defender, you're allowed to stand your ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, is Semedo supposed to stop in his tracks and say, sorry, on you go? No. A defender is allowed to stand his ground. And how VAR and how the referee can look at this and think it's a penalty or a foul is absolutely beyond me, because there's nothing in it to suggest it's a foul whatsoever.
But Mbappe is smart. I mean, given the rules, given the laws, he knows there's going to be contact. He knows it's going to be seen on video.
He knows the referees and the VAR are not right in the head.
I wouldn't say smart.
You think it's cheap?
I think it's very cheap. I think it's nowhere near a penalty.
Yeah, it's cheating.
Add a little bit of context to that as well. He was never getting on the pass. The pass was overhit. So the only reason why you can say...
So that's not clever?
It's not clever, it's cheating. Because it's making the referee's job ridiculously hard. If we see players all over the pitch, because, you know, what you got to remember, Sebi, there's 22 players on the pitch. And I hate the word contact, and I hate when people loosely use the word contact. There's contact in a professional sport like football 1,000 times a game. Now, he doesn't know Kylian Mbappe that Semedo is probably going to just stand his ground, as Stevie said. So Kylian Mbappe's looked at the referee, nodding, thinking that's a penalty. But anyone that plays the game, including Kylian Mbappe, when he sees that back, because he was never getting on the original pass anyway, it was completely overhit.
Sebi.
So he took a chance, went to the floor. It's never a pen.
Go on, Frank.
Yeah, we all been football players. We could have been strikers or defenders. We exactly know what Mbappe was looking for. He was looking for a foul, and so he went to hit on Semedo, and Luis can say it as a forward player that he was looking for it. So we call it cheating because it comes from him. He intends to cheat on the referee's decision. You know, he forces the referee to give him the penalty. So therefore, it's cheating.
Luis, cheating or clever, Mbappe?
No, it's, of course, both a little bit of both. But the thing is that we are not talking is about why no VAR goes in and say, no, it's not a penalty. That's why I think that there is something that is missing in the VAR room, because I mentioned it a few times, why there is not a former player getting inside the VAR, because this kind, like Frank just mentioned, we all played and we all know that Mbappe was trying to find a contact. There was no chance he arrived to get the ball. The ball was flying over, so there is no chance. I want to make the run. If I feel anything, I'm going to go on the floor. And I'm going to check the line where I am, because a free kick is not going to be checked on VAR. So I'm going to get into the box. And in the moment that I feel it, I'm going to go, yeah, you can call it cheating. You can call it getting an advantage or something. But at the end, why no VAR is getting into this one? The referee maybe is not in a good side, or he cannot see it properly. But VAR is for this kind of situation where the referee whistle the penalty, but after VAR says, no, listen, there is no much contact, there is no way that Mbappe is going to get the ball, so no penalty. I'm so confused about the VAR situation.
Well said. I think we're all there. Here's the second goal from Portugal. Pretty clear.
Yep. Hands shouldn't be there. Yep. Jules Koundé's hands shouldn't be that high.
I don't think Andy's going to argue with this one.
No.
I don't think.
No. Ronaldo steps up to take it. It's the record tire now with 109 goals, most by a man in international competition. We were talking about it, watching this. The difference you feel watching Ronaldo stand over a pen compared to somebody like Morata just the other day, right?
Exactly. You could see in Morata that he didn't fancy it, a man that's under pressure. But when Ronaldo steps up, he's just got so much confidence in him. He's just a machine. He's got ice in his veins.
Who would you pick to take a penalty for your life?
Ronaldo.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Be him, wouldn't
it? Yeah.
Look at those numbers. Impressive, huh?
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's not.
He's going to make it. He's got a chance.
He'll be okay. Really, that's the one bright spot today for Portugal in a lot of ways.
You know, Portugal's got a history of muddling their way through. And that's what they've done.
They're shipping goals now like they haven't in the past. Can they muddle through like this?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Where are they? They're in the round of 16. We were saying the same things about them in the last Euros, and guess who won it? So you can't discount them. You certainly can't count them out when they've got a guy like Ronaldo playing up front. Yes, you can question the amount of goals they're losing right now, but the fact is, they've lost goals, but they're still through. They can fix it. If there's any team that can batten down the hatches and then just play on the break, it's Portugal. So, yes, I don't disagree, they've lost goals.
And they got out of a ridiculous group.
Right.
So, I mean, you look at that, you say, all you have to do is just get out of this group somehow.
I think the trouble with Portugal, when you watch them, because they're so talented, the individuals in the squad are so good, they're not set up and never will be for a 0-0. You know, what they shipped, 6 goals in the last 2 games?
Yep.
So they have to be ridiculously offensive. I don't think you can win a tournament by being that offensive and conceding so many goals every single game and putting your strikers under pressure to score 2 and 3 every single game. I think it gets you so far and it's exciting to watch. But I expect more from that back line. I expect more clean sheets if they're going to go deep.
Of course, the only victory they had in the group phase against Hungary, a 3-0. Frank, your perspective on France. How did they play today, and how do you rate what they've done in this group? Just the one win out of 3.
Well, I'm not really pleased. As Casey said, it was a very tough group, and we saw Germany struggling, and we saw everybody struggling. So you know, happy that Karim Benzema finally found the net and that he opened his score table. But I'm expecting more. I'm happy with Paul Pogba. I'm happy with N'Golo Kanté. I'm not that happy defensively, and we don't know if we lost Hernandez. We know that we lost Digne. But at front, they have to work more together. I think Griezmann, last game against Hungary, today again, wasn't at his best. So I want to see improvement, and I want to make sure that Didier Deschamps will pick the right lineup if some players are not at the top. Because I think Griezmann maybe should rest for the next game, and you can put Coman instead, and let's see what you're gonna offer to us in the middle of the park. But so far, it's not what I was expecting. But it's a tough competition. It's a very silly competition when you can see with the group that they were in. You see all the results, but you know they're there. They're first. They should have an easy task for the next round. But after, it's gonna become serious.
So France and Portugal threw out a Group F. So is Germany. But Don, I mean, before this goal from Goretzka, they were out.
They were, and it took a youngster in Musiala to come off the bench and try and change the game for them. It was a nervy game for Germany. You're right, Sebi, when they got back to 1-1 and you're thinking within, 90 seconds they were 2-1 down, the pressure was going to be on them. And in the end, the manager had done the right things. He got offensive players on the pitch. He took one or two chances. I think the problem for them at the moment, I think me and Stevie and Casey might agree, and certainly me and Stevie were up in the green room watching the game, Mats Hummels was really struggling. He's really struggling now to get around the pitch. And unless the two players either side of him can play really narrow and give him some sort of protection, I can't see how that back line for Germany is going to keep clean sheets.
So you're saying Joachim Löw was right to retire him 3 years ago? Because, I mean, really, he kind of bent to the pressure to bring Hummels back.
Yeah, well, he's certainly a lot slower than what he was 3 years ago. I think you're watching a player now that is going backwards. And I don't mean that disrespectfully, because he's had an unbelievable career and he's still a fine footballer. But in terms of an athlete, you know, you see the two goals today. Anything over the top down the sides, he can't move. And if you're Kylian Mbappe, if you're one of the best sides that's going to be facing Germany potentially in the next few games, you're going to try and isolate that central area of Mats Hummels.
He, a ball that came 35 yards, 40 yards, he had to move 5 yards by the time the ball left the foot of his opponent to cut that cross off, and he couldn't do it. So what chance has he got with somebody like Mbappe or Griezmann or Benzema in and around him? Not a chance. When they play against a proper team, they're going to lose plenty more goals if he plays. And it looks like he's going to play until they're knocked out. I mean, Don's 100% right. The guy can't run. He can't get about. Anything in and around his feet, forget it. If he's got time to read it, he's okay. But no, they can't win in and with him.
Frank, quick thought.
You cannot play at three at the back with Hummels in the middle of the defence. I mean, he's always been very slow, and he's getting slower and slower, and of course older and older. So you have to rethink about your defence and how you're going to line your defence up, because it doesn't work like that. It's impossible with him. I mean, I remember him playing for Dortmund before he went to Bayern, and he was already slow and he was young. So it's becoming a nightmare. To see him, I'm suffering for him. Every time he has to defend, I suffer for him. Really, it's becoming very difficult.
There's a lot of complaints in Germany about them playing a back three, but can you change it now?
Well, you don't have to right now, but when you're playing better opposition...
Sounds like it from what...
Well, when you're playing better opposition, there's no question you have to if you want to continue on.
I mean, England's got the speed to trouble them, don't they?
Yeah, of course they do. Imagine them going up against a Lukaku, going up against... It just can't happen, and, well...
There actually is one thing that maybe Löw doesn't have a...
He doesn't have another option.
Right. Yeah. Because his other choice is Sula.
Sula looks slower than...
Everybody keeps telling me Sula over 35, 40 yards is one of the quickest players in the Bundesliga. unfortunately, when people are playing in and around the penalty box, it's 2 and 3 yards a count. Mm. And it takes him 2 and 3 yards to even put one foot in front of the other. So maybe he doesn't have an option.
Klosterman's the player, if they can get fit, he could play either right side or central, more so right side, and shift Ginter in one. But I think he took a knock over the last few days, so he's struggling.
But I agree, it's tough, though, putting him in that position.
You could put Ginter in one, Klosterman on the right side of three.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
All right, enough on Group F. Let's turn our attention then to Group E. Also decided earlier today, Slovakia facing Spain. Ninth minute.
Definite pen.
Yep.
Definite
okay,
pen.
First to it.
Yeah, it's not easy, this one, for the referee. You see Koke's got in there just clever and the defender just kicks the back of his calf. It's actually quite hard to spot that in real time and the referee done the right thing. Go into the monitor.
What's that face?
No, I'm thinking about what you said. You know, Mbappe, you asked the question, was Mbappe being smart?
Yeah.
Now, that's being smart.
Yes. Mm.
Just get in front of the man.
Get in front of him before he hits it.
Take the kick.
That's a smart guy.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Morata then missing, so still 0-0 into the 30th minute. Don't worry. Spain would eventually break through in just the wildest fashion. Shot off the crossbar. And
oh, no.
Martin Dubravka does what?
There's really no comment.
What'd you say?
There's really no comment. I mean, he comes up with the brilliant penalty save.
Have you seen anything like this? That's got to be an worst-owned...
Well, that's just one of...
In volleyball,
Hey, Casey, you know the strange thing about that one is his muscle memory when he had his left hand on the crossbar.
He must have just lost the ball and then panicked because when it came down, it wasn't where he thought it was so good to be.
There was a shout in commentary, which I don't know, the shade, the light might have played a part.
Yeah,
I've got no idea.
But he obviously lost it in the air. But then Spain just kicked on from there. And to get this goal right before halftime, brilliant looping header to the far post. And then it was...
Laporte makes it 2-0. Sarabia then makes it 3.
Please for the Spain fans and Luis Garcia watching on, because that's the proper Spain, isn't it? And I think the one player that probably won't get a mention, but players know, Busquets ran this game. Mm. He ran every single inch of this game. His passing was good. He wasn't sideways. He was penetrating. He was getting balls quickly into the wide men, front men. And that was a brilliant performance, I thought, from Busquets. But they were brilliant second half, especially.
Ferran Torres there with one of his first touches of the game, makes it 4. And then how about another own goal to seal things off here as Spain?
That was his first touch of the game, Ferran Torres.
Yeah.
He just come off the bench, literally about 15 seconds. So unlucky that he didn't get credited, but just took an OG save off the keeper.
I bet you, though, Luis Enrique will be sitting in the coach's room after the game saying, I wish Morata had scored. Even though they got 5, he'll be going, I wish Morata had scored.
No, he's saying, I wish David Villa was 10 years younger, is what he's saying. But,
that as well.
Let's listen to what Luis Enrique actually said, along with Eric Garcia.
We've been working really hard these 3 games. The team had a really good attitude. Obviously, we've not been lucky, having our chances, and today, everything went in, so hopefully this gets the team, I don't know if to say the confidence or I don't know what to, on the next game, go straight in.
We try to keep the ball and move it very, very fast and try to press them very high. And I'm very happy with the result, of course, and also with the performance of the whole team.
Other half of Group E, Sweden against Poland. Second minute, Swedes jump ahead. Emil Forsberg, bit of a lucky bounce, falls right to him, and then a nice left-footed finish.
I tell you what, a good advantage from the referee, because there's a foul just on the edge of the box, and the referee played the advantage. And Forsberg with a strike. They're a good side, Sweden. Kulusevski, I thought, was brilliant when he played his minutes in the game.
You never, ever think Robert Lewandowski would miss from that kind of range, but he does twice.
Wow. Take a good look at this, because you'll never see this again.
Especially the second one, right?
I mean, he pretty much does most things right with the first header. He's unlucky with the second one, and how it goes through his legs on the third one, nobody knows.
This is Kulusevski. Nice little assist.
Yeah, he does. It's an excellent run, isn't it? And then just away that perfect pass to...
Great finish.
And Forsberg just starts it outside the post and curls it back in. And you thought they were off and running, but Lewandowski had something else to say about it.
But this is, spectacular finish, yeah?
Casey, should the goalkeeper have taken a step to his left?
I think he just goes shakes his hand after the game. That's why you're the best striker in the world.
All right.
I made it 2-1. 84th minute. Lewandowski. Going to tie it at 2.
Just leave him wide open there, Don, right?
Yeah. Just the best striker, the best number 9 in world football. Don't mark him. I mean, it's a good little ball in and a good run. I think the two centre-backs get a little bit confused.
Yeah, drags them both to the to that. And
at that point, Poland just needing the one goal to advance. They wouldn't get it. Instead, the Swedes find a third. Viktor Claesson.
Well, they were throwing everything forward, Poland. This is pretty much on the break. It's a nice goal. But
assist again, Stevie Kulusevski, Juve man. You watch Lewandowski play, you've got to feel for him, haven't you?
Sure.
So good.
Yeah, you'd really love to see him be able to go deep in a tournament, and just not going to happen.
Won't happen here. Sweden 3-2 winners. Let's hear from the man who did the damage, Emil Forsberg.
Which was the sweeter, the first or the second goal?
The second goal, I think, maybe.
Why?
I don't know, it just felt sweeter.
And just last, your ambition was to get out of the group to the next stage. Do you have a new goal?
We want to go through, of course. We said it before we came here that we want to go through the group. Now we won the group, and now we have, I don't know who we're going to get, but in the end, we want to go through. We want to win every game we can. It's going to be tough, but that's our goal.
So here's how Group E finish up. Sweden, your group winners, surprise there. Spain, second with 5 points. They advance. Poland eliminated Slovakia as well. Luis, what was the difference today for Spain? From nothing to 5. What happened?
That we scored goals. Today we scored goals. I think that there was a few differences. Players in the team that changed the game. You guys were talking about Sergio Busquets. I think this is a massive difference when he plays into the field. He's the compass of the team. Everybody's looking for him. He speed ups the game or slow it down depending on what it needs. I think Pedri was fantastic today. Also, Sarabia, a player who I think surprised us in the first game during a few minutes that he played today. He was phenomenal on the right side. Also, the movement of Moreno. And one of the things that I think that you guys also mentioned is that, Luis Enrique is not going to be happy without Morata scoring a goal today. That chance of in the penalty spot is going to be missed. Because to be honest, we need the central forward with confidence, and something that happened today once again is in the moment that Morata didn't score, you could see in his performance they start going down and down, and well, it's a pity because I think he's a player who can give a lot to the Spanish team, but at least we got 5 goals, the team got confidence. I think you could see that the players who were coming in, we saw Adama Traore, we saw Ferran Torres arriving and scoring goal. So at the end, it's about that, to arrive into the last 16 with that feeling of that you can score goals, that you can dominate the game, and at the end that you are one of the top teams in this competition.
You know, Sebi, sometimes you can get by. You think of Firmino at Liverpool and you think of Diego Costa, the way he played. Sometimes you can get by with a striker who doesn't score too many goals.
Yeah, but now with one who's not finishing.
That's what I was just going to say. Yeah. So if Diego Costa's playing or if Firmino's playing, you know what you're going to get because he sacrifices himself for the team. Morata's not that type of player. So Stevie and the guys are saying he's got to get... If you think Spain are going to get going and they're going to beat some teams, they've got to get their front men scoring goals. Morata's got to start scoring.
What would you do as a manager?
Well, again, it comes down to choices, doesn't it?
Does he's have got other choices. Choice? He's got Moreno. He's got other choices.
Hold on a second. So in the first group game, Moreno comes on and has a sitter and he misses as well. So, you know, you've got the two guys coming into this tournament and Moreno and Morata are your goal scorers.
That's not a confident penalty, is it?
Oh, no. And what? Neither of them in front of goal are confident.
And that's going to impact the rest of the team.
That's your choices. I tell you, then the choices are you go for a false nine. You don't play the two of them.
Well, Moreno could play through the middle or Traore off the right-hand side.
I just...
I think right now he's, I don't know whether he's being stubborn or whether he's just saying, I trust this guy. And I think he does do a little bit more than just score goals for us. He gives us that presence that we can, you know, if they're talking about playing the ball forward earlier, you're going to need a presence up front. Maybe he gives you that presence if you're getting the ball forward earlier.
Luis, we were on TV, I think after the Spain-Sweden match, and you said then that it was time for Morata to go to the bench. I'm assuming now you think he's got to go.
Yeah, I thought that, but not because we didn't need it or because he doesn't give. I think Steve is mentioning that when you got a player who give you things, and I think Morata does it, he runs behind the defender, he's trying to track people back. He drops back to try to give chances to other player, opportunities to receive the ball. So he gives things, but at the end, he's the center forward. You expect him to score goals. I thought about him moving in the second game because you move away the spotlight of Morata, you rest him a little bit and then bring it on in the third one and maybe then in the last 16, in the round of 16. But at the end, now is not the moment. I think you're going to need him for sure. If he's fit, if he doesn't feel that he's not confident, that I'm sure that he's not going to mention anything about it, he's going to play. And Luis Enrique said it. No, he's a player who we need, who gives a lot of things to the team. So he's going to play once again. So I'm not expecting him to change. Yes, people are around because at the end you need fresh legs. And we saw today with Sarabia on one side or Busquets in the middle. So we could see more movements for the next round. But I don't expect him to move Morata in the next game.
All right, Casey.
Yep.
We gotta get another look at this. So first of all, okay, Dubravka's not the only Slovakian player here who makes a mistake. It's just the one we're gonna remember.
Sure. Well, of course. I mean,
terrible.
And that's
over
the
there.
Worst thing. And is who would ever want to be a goalkeeper? Because you make the big save on the penalty. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the big mistake. And obviously, you know, something obviously went wrong.
Yep.
Because he lost the ball somewhere. You said, Don.
He's mistimed the jump,
right? He mistimed everything.
The weird one is his left hand's on the crossbar. So he knows where the crossbar is, doesn't he?
Yeah.
His right hand to then clip it
and
over.
I really think that he thinks the ball's going to be more in front of him. And when it gets behind him, it's late. He sees it late. He panics. And he just, because, I mean, normally how I want to, very rarely am I facing the goal. More often than not, I'm seeing that ball, and I'm just tipping it over this way. So he lost it somewhere.
His bearings are completely all over.
They are. It's something. And that's why it's called a monumental mistake.
Yep. Yeah, and you saw the impact it had for both teams from
it
then
did.
On, right?
It just broke that duck for Spain, and then it all came in after that. Just kind of unleashed the dam.
Yeah.
All right, so let's take a look at the bracket then, right? This is all that matters moving forward. This is the top half of things. Belgium-Portugal, tasty matchup in the round of 16. Italy-Austria as well. France-Switzerland, Croatia-Spain. So clearly, I think, guys, we agree this is the strong half of the bracket. Let's go to the other half of the bracket. Not unlike the last World Cup. England is in the easier half of the bracket. They'll get Germany, though, in the round of 16. Sweden, Ukraine, Netherlands, Czech Republic, and Wales, Denmark. All right, so prediction time. Don, I think since you're first one out of here,
right,
should probably start with you. Let's take a look at Don's bracket. Italy beating Belgium.
Oh, no.
I'm upset. I went with Belgium early in the tournament.
Yeah.
Should have told me.
It's not going to be easy. I mean, how on earth do you try and...
Italy haven't been tested yet.
Pardon?
Italy haven't been tested yet.
Listen, mate, I think that's one of them where you go Belgium, Italy. I think that is an unbelievable game, a hard one to call, but I've gone for the Italians. Then, obviously, my pick is France. They're the favourites. I've got to fancy them to go through against Spain. Germany, I think they find a way, and I think the Dutch find a way as well.
You got... Other side of the bracket. No, you've got Germany beating Netherlands based on anything that we've seen in this tournament or just history?
A little bit of panic when I had about 2 seconds mind up. I mean, it was a late call and someone said, inside 2 seconds, Dons, who's going to win between Germany and Holland? Germany.
Sometimes we fall back on those easy choices. Yeah.
Don't give me no time.
History comes in,
give me no time, just 2 seconds.
All right, Casey, let's take a look at your bracket. What are you going with here in the top half of the bracket?
Yeah, same thing. I just like Italy. But then I have a funny feeling that Spain and France were my favorite from the beginning to win this tournament, but I haven't seen enough. And I just think Spain, after all the drama with the COVID, finally then having a good result that they might go on a little bit of a run here.
Mm.
So but then I still think, obviously, Germany.
So me and
I'm with Don.
So me and you both somehow.
With Germany being so
we've
average.
We've slated Matt Hummels, but they're going to get to the final.
Correct. They're somehow going to get to the final.
All right. So you got Spain what? To the semifinals?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Luis Garcia, how far you got Spain gone?
I knew that you were coming. Someone asked me and I went straight away with Italy and I forgot during the way Spain. So yeah, for me, I think Italy... Italy is one of the strongest ones. It's just guys that he haven't been tested in this in the group stages, but he's been tested in the last 30 games. They haven't missed a chance of winning or at least a draw. So they haven't lost in the last 30 games, 11 games without conceding a goal. So that's something. That's
England
why
in the final, Luis.
What tournament are you watching,
England
Luis?
In the final.
In the final.
I think they broke. Yeah, I got England because I think they broke that moment of panic that you could say. I think that they got fantastic players in the bench that haven't been played yet and fantastic players on the field. And I think if they release and they get a little bit of that momentum, I think they can be very dangerous.
Mm. Hi, Frank LaBeouf. You're up next. Bracket reveal. How far is France going?
Well, we win it.
Ah, there it is.
Good final.
Luis, you got to take some lessons from Frank here.
I would have said Belgium. The semifinal will be the tough one. I think until then, I see France going through really great. I don't see France losing against Croatia. Croatia has had lots of problems. And, I want to give credit to England. But I think the Netherlands, we don't really talk about the Netherlands, but they have a very good squad and they can go far. So, yeah, when I was young, my two favorite teams were the Netherlands and France. So I keep fantasizing with those two teams. So, and I want to see them in the final.
Pretty safe bet. All right, France, Netherlands. Stevie, you're next. Do you remember what you picked?
He doesn't even know.
Absolutely, aye.
You got England in the final. Scotland. This can't be Stevie's bracket. There's been a mistake.
No.
What? What's happened there, Steve?
Well, because I think Italy are going to beat Belgium. Listen, Belgium, as we know, I've got individuals that can change the game. But Italy as a team have been as good as anybody. And I think that's why Italy's going to beat Belgium.
You think they can handle Lukaku?
France, I'm sorry. France are the best team in this tournament, in my opinion. Regardless of how the game's played, they've got an extra gear. Ain't Sweden? You're never going to back Sweden, are you? I mean, England can take care of Sweden physically because Sweden are always physical. But England have got so many players that can, again, a bit like Belgium, even though they're getting knocked out, I've got players that can change a game. And I think Denmark, as great as they've done, are going to run out of steam. Mm. You know, the emotion and the energy and the nervous energy as much as anything, they're going to run out of juice. And that's why I think they're not going to get any further.
I think it was pretty much unanimous there. Everybody's got the winner of England-Germany getting to at least the semifinals, if not the final.
But I think that's what's tough, is you kind of look at the way the bracket lines up. There's a couple of those quarterfinal matches that could be finals.
Oh, yeah, Belgium-Italy.
They're being played too soon.
Definitely on one side.
Yeah.
I can't believe you got England in the final. Cannot believe you've done that.
I never said I wanted them in the final.
If you had more time to think about that, you'd have them out early on.
Well, listen, if you gave me more time, I could probably come up with a reason why they wouldn't get there. But as we've all mentioned, there was a little bit of time constraints going on.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't change it, though.
So you're not good under pressure.
I'm not going to change
no,
it.
No.
What's your final?
Well, pre-tournament, I said Belgium. So Belgium against anybody would make me happy. Yeah, Belgium, no. Producer Pete says Holland. We'll see about that.
Well, guess what? He's Dutch.
Here's a round of 16 matchups on Saturday. Wales against Denmark. That's a noon Eastern time coverage start on ESPN. And then Italy, Austria, 3 p.m. Eastern time over on ABC.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Speaking of Real Madrid, Galacticos, let's discuss some of the players that could be moving. Frank, I'll start with you. Rafael Varane, linked to Manchester United. Would it be a good move for him?
Well, that's always the same question. Who's going to move with him? Because, we're still waiting a lot about Manchester United. And we know the history of the club. We know how big the club is. But we are talking about the past. You know, they finished second in the league. Okay, that's fine. That was a very special season. But I'm not sure it's a goal for everyone to go to Manchester United now, unless they have like three or four other players coming with them to challenge Manchester City and Liverpool next season, or maybe Chelsea, and to be good enough in the Champions League. So I don't know what Rafael Varane's goal is, but I will have some question marks before going to Manchester United.
Luis, how much better would he make Manchester United?
On Varane, a yep. B1. I will do a B1, of course. I'll try to bring him. I think he's one of the most important players at the moment for Real Madrid. They are losing Sergio Ramos. That is the leader at the back. Of course, they need to buy another one. Alaba is going to arrive, but you know that he can play also in the left side. At the moment, if they want to challenge every single competition, they need to keep Varane. And I'm sure that any team would like to have him. He's young, he's got experience, he's got speed, he's talented with the ball. So I think it would be, how much would be this player if it's not because of the pandemic situation? So I'm expecting, I think he's got one more year. So in general, could start talking with different teams. So I expect him to start moving because he's been a couple of times linked with different teams.
Frank, we always think of Varane as kind of the number two to Sergio Ramos. How do you rate him? Is he elite?
Well, he showed during the World Cup in 2018 that he was a real leader, and he was absolutely fantastic during that World Cup. But it's true that he was in the shade of Sergio Ramos. But Sergio Ramos is such a character and such a leader that it's hard to be at the same level. But it's true as well that when Sergio Ramos was injured, sometimes Rafael did the job, but sometimes he's also failed. So I think he has to improve in that matter, that's for sure. He has the talent for that. He already showed that he could be a leader. And it would be good for any club who wants to hire him. I would be Rafael Varane. I would stay one more year in Real Madrid and be free to go anywhere after that year at 29 years old.
Frank, since you mentioned Sergio Ramos and he's been linked to PSG, how much better would he make them?
Well, he will make them better, even if I think that Marquinhos and Kimpembe are in a better shape than Sergio Ramos because they're younger. But I also know that Marquinhos can play also as a midfielder, a defensive midfielder. I like Sergio Ramos, and I always thought that he was a fantastic player. But now he's getting aged, and you have to be fair to nature. I'm not sure that he can be the same Sergio Ramos, so will it be another star in the Paris Saint-Germain circus? I don't have the answer. I know that he is very happy to go there because Neymar is supposedly a good friend of him, and he can get the wage that he's expecting. But I'm not sure it's a very good idea from Paris Saint-Germain to hire somebody so, let's say, aged.
You don't want to say old. I mean, he is aged, as Frank says. Luis, how much gas does he have left in the tank?
I think it's still a little bit, but I'm sure that Pochettino is not thinking about how much he can give me on the pitch. Also, he was once a leader for that team. I think he's been the lucky enough having the chance of winning the Champions League is something that everybody in Paris Saint-Germain is thinking. And a player who already won a lot of Champions League, he's got a lot of experience of being in different finals. I think it's always important. Yeah, in the French league, I'm sure that he can perform well and he can bring that experience in the Champions League. So I'm sure that he's thinking about only that, not only what he can give me on the pitch, but also what he can give me as a leader, or as a very experienced players in different competitions for the whole squad.
Rumors of players moving, rumors of managers moving, as well as we take a look at the odds to be Spurs' next manager. I feel like we've shown this graphic once a day for the last week. Former Spurs man, Casey Keller. Anybody there jump out to you?
Look, anybody who has to deal with Daniel Levy knows what they're getting themselves into going to Tottenham. So it's a tricky choice.
And what's more important, name or style? Because some of those are big names, but every time I hear this show, I hear Don Hutchinson scream Graham Potter.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm and you even mentioned it as well. You think that the name, sometimes Graham isn't, for lack of a better word, sexy enough to kind of come into a bigger club and be able to, excite the fan base.
Yep.
And I'm not sure Tottenham going from Mourinho to Graham Potter really excites the fan base, regardless of how well he would do or how well we think
that's
he would do.
That's the same scenario, isn't it?
Yeah.
Tottenham and Everton at the moment are both in exactly the same scenarios. They've lost big-name managers. Mm-hmm. So the two clubs now shouldn't be panicking, thinking, right, we've lost Ancelotti if you're Everton. Let's go and get Rafa Benitez. That's going to end in tears. The fans don't want him there in the first place. That will end in tears. In 18 months' time or a year's time, they're going to have to give him 6, 7, 8 million to pay him off. Graham Potter's stock now, I would imagine, is rising. Because he will go into Tottenham, he can go into Everton. He has not got a big ego. There's no drama. He's not going to cause a fuss. He will make the players better that he's got to work with. The fans have to get on board with someone like him.
And at Spurs, don't you kind of have to play a certain way?
Yeah.
I mean, they killed Mourinho for playing the way that he did.
There's no question that there's a history of flair.
Yeah, so when you watch Brighton, you go, they are a really, really good side to watch. Mm-hmm. They haven't got any front men that can score goals. But I think, as a manager now, if you're Graham Potter, I'd like to think his stock is rising. Because I think he goes into Tottenham, I think he goes into Everton, and I think he does a very, very solid job.
But Don, the question too about going into Tottenham is, who's going to be there when you get there?
But that's what I'm saying.
Is so Harry Kane gone? Is Son gone? Is who, and you're thinking, all right, now what do I have to do?
But that's why all them big managers are turning Spurs down, because they know this.
Right.
They know there's no budget. They know Harry Kane's not going to stick around. You've got to try and convince Son. The back line's aging. Lloris is not getting any younger.
Right.
So the managers are all looking at this project for Tottenham and thinking, what am I meant to do there? Am I meant to get these top four?
And Daniel Levy is going to assume that you're going to get him into top four Champions
Possible.
League. I know that, but that's what the thought process is.
That's why they're saying no.
Yeah.
Daniel Levy's a very successful businessman, I am assuming, right?
Correct.
Right. Now, you only get that way by making good, sensible, practical decisions.
And that's not football.
So how do you not remember what you did previously when you got Pochettino? Because nobody was saying Pochettino was sexy.
Right.
Oh, we're getting a Southampton manager. But guess what happened? So he goes and you completely throw that out the window and say, right, I'm going to get somebody the fans like. And you bring in Mourinho, makes a complete mess of it, actually persuades your best player to stay, and now he's pretty much convinced him to go because of what he did, and now you're back to where you were before. So surely the straightforward answer is, you go and get your Graham Potter.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, you almost have to, right? Almost have to.
Let me ask, if you're Kane or you're, because you mentioned them both, Kane and Son, if Potter's the guy, does that convince you to stay? Because
No.
But if it's a big name, does that convince you to stay?
I think you're in a full rebuild.
So then it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
Then you have to do what's best for the club.
Listen, I heard from a very good source that this time last year, Harry Kane and Man City was done.
Hmm.
And then Daniel Levy was very, very clever by bringing Jose Mourinho in, someone that can more or less guarantee you a win and a trophy, unless you give him 7 days and then sack him just before that, which is typical Tottenham. But Harry Kane then bought into Jose Mourinho, can you stay one more year? Give me 1 year working with you. I will win you a trophy. Then you move on. So I wouldn't have thought any manager's going to go into Tottenham now and keep Harry Kane. I think his mind's been made up for a year. I think he wants the move. It's the right time for him. He's playing catch-up. He's close to 28, sitting with no trophies. If he goes to Man City, he can probably get 6 or 7 trophies in the space of four seasons.
4 or 5 years, or even just sign a 4-year deal and know that there's going to be some silverware.
Yeah.
Luis, what do you think? Do Spurs need a big name hire?
You always need someone, of course, he's got experience. I think that would be the most important. If you want to build something into the team and you really need it, because if Harry Kane is going to be moving and maybe another players, because of course, no Champions League situation or a European situation, you cannot bring big names. It's going to be difficult that a big manager wants to come to Tottenham without a project. And the one you were mentioning with Rafa Benitez going to Everton or maybe link with also Tottenham. He is a manager who I know very well, and he always looking for that one. So a big manager with a big reputation with Saber behind him, he's always going to try to find a project. It doesn't matter if you go to Tottenham or you go to Newcastle or you go to whatever. You want something that you can build, but you can build with someone next to you who would allow you. And I think in Tottenham is something that is very, very difficult to try to bring players that you want to allow you to do whatever you decide to do. Is not easy. And if he is linked with Everton, I'm sure that the fans of Everton are not going to be happy. Liverpool supporters are not going to be happy. He's living in Liverpool, so I think it's not the perfect link. So I don't see him moving anywhere. So we have to wait a little bit, but the most important is experience. A manager who can bring you experience into the team.
Who was applauding? Was it Frank? Frank, you were applauding during that? What were you clapping for?
I really agree with all the guys are saying, and especially with Stevie when he said that Daniel Levy should go back to what he did some years ago when he hired Pochettino, who wasn't maybe glamour, wasn't known as a very good manager, and has been successful with him, and just go back to your biggest enemy. If you Daniel Levy, when Arsene Wenger came in 96 or 97, he was Arsene who? So who cares about who's going to be the leader of your dressing room as a coach, as long as you have the individual? So first you have to find the players, then maybe try to find a coach, but don't try to find a name, because a name won't bring something more. And I'm sure it's not what they need. It's been proven last season.
All right, thank you, Frank. Thanks, Luis, as well. Great to have you with us here on ESPN FC. Plenty more on Tottenham's continued search for a manager over on the latest edition of the Gab and Jules Show. You can download that over on the website. All right, from that, we make the always smooth transition to Major League Soccer, a little midweek affair between Orlando City and San Jose. 6th minute.
You could see that a mile off.
Unfortunately.
You're not allowed to do that?
Florian Youngworth.
Oh, my goodness.
and he looked, he waved back.
No, I never touched him.
It wasn't me. Nani converts. 1-0 Orlando. They were far from done. 16th minute.
Good run. Good run from deep.
Benji Michel in there. Yes, 2-0.
You take it. No, you get it. No, I'll get it. Yeah. No, you get it. Yeah. No, I'll get it. Meantime, pick it out the back of the net.
San Jose can be a fun team to watch, but when they melt down, they melt
down. They can concede.
Right? Yes. 31st minute, Jackson Hewell with a bad mistake. Daryl DK.
Whatever you do, don't try and cut out that pass.
Great ball.
Just run with it? No? Let's let you come in.
They look a good side going forward.
Tough angle.
Pace.
A good finish, isn't it?
Yep.
DK again. Fresh off a great stint in the championship. He gets a brace. 4-0.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's just open, right? I mean, get to that space.
Case it.
Savable, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Should we make it 5? Yeah, why not at the near post?
From an angle, savable.
Matias Almeida.
But
didn't lose
you lose
that,
one, never you lose
not
been there before, by the way.
All right, so Daryl DK, boy, what a season, what a year he has had here in 2021. Goals from the championship MLS with the U.S. men's national team as well in just 21 years of age. Casey, I'm kind of interested to see him back in MLS, right? After the championship success,
sure.
You would have thought, man, he's going to go right to the Premier League. There was supposedly interest, but he's back in the league now. Surely he'll be back in Europe soon.
Well, we will find out. He needs to continue that maturation process because, look, let's look at the numbers. Let's go back to it. 21 years old, 27 games, 12 goals. What are we seeing from stars in Europe? 19 years old, 50 games, 50 goals.
All right, so he's not a European star, but for a U.S. forward, he should be somewhere other than MLS.
Well, but I would also like to see him. I want to kind of see a snapshot of kind of where he goes this season.
Okay.
Take away the breaking in and figuring it out. I want to see now if he's going to go to Europe, demand a price, or obviously MLS is going to demand a price. In MLS, he should be almost a goal a game.
Hmm.
And that's what I'd like to see, if then you could make that jump from the championship, where he went in, did a good job. But where Premier League teams are going to start looking around, they want to see that improvement and that true domination of MLS.
He goes in mid-season, though, to the championship. That's surely not easy to do. Steps into a team, starts scoring goals, gets him into the promotion playoffs. That's got to be worth something to somebody in the Premier League.
At his age of 21, with loads of room to grow, and his numbers are not bad, are they?
They're not bad.
One every two and a bit.
Yes.
He's got the profile for it, doesn't he?
Exactly. Imagine taking someone like him who looks as though he's quick, looks as though he's talented in front of goal.
Is there a passport as well? Because, I mean, that's always key. Obviously, he got to the championship. He wasn't dealing with work permits, so that definitely helps, because the first question I always got from people I want to go to England. Okay. Have you played 75% of the last games for the national team? Well, I actually haven't even been called in. Okay, then do you have a European passport? No. Well, there goes that idea.
It was only a couple months' success in the championship. Am I overstating kind of how valuable that is?
No, I'm sitting here when you're talking, I'm listening to the boys, and I'm thinking about Clint Dempsey in New England. And Clint did exactly what Casey was talking about. He had another year. We persuaded him. Because as soon as he knew anybody was interested, he was like, look, I just want to go and play.
Right.
But I think him staying that extra year to mature and actually get to a position where, do you know what? I can't. This is really me. You know, I think DK's not had enough success for a period of time where he's actually 100% confident in himself. You know, if he goes back to the championship right now and has a struggle, then he might start thinking what you were bringing up. Well, it's only been a good 2 months. You know, you might question yourself, whereas another year of being a superstar, being the man in MLS, scoring goals, then all of a sudden he goes, right, I'm ready. I know I'm ready. Yeah. Get me somewhere.
And potentially breaking through with the national team. That's another big part of it, right? That number 9 spot wide open as we look at Jozy Altidore, who's on the preliminary Gold Cup roster. Here we see his numbers with TFC. Of course, we know he's been frozen out of the team. Does Jozy have a future with the U.S. national team, you still think?
Come on. Give Greg a call, but
I mean, if he does at this point, it's basically by default, right? It's because Sargent, it's because DK, it's because these guys have locked up.
Well, there's no question that the U.S. national team is dying for a number 9 to really stamp his authority on it. Now, Jozy has had his different moments with the national team where he went on there were some question marks, and then he went on a great run for Jurgen and scored a bunch of goals in qualifying and put that to bed. And then, unfortunately, at the World Cup, got injured in that first match. Jozy, though, needs to, for me, when you're talking about national team, club always has to come first. And he's got to sort out that club situation at Toronto and what's going on there. And I know there's been a bunch of rumors about maybe going to Mexico and whatever, but I always feel that play well for your club and then do it for the national team. It's so strange for me. I'm not training even with Toronto. I'm training on my own. Right. I'm not playing. But then somehow I'm getting called into the national team.
I mean, what does that say about the national team?
It's backwards.
Well, it's upside down.
Yeah.
It's upside down. Should be. I mean, it shouldn't really even be a question. I'm not sure if I'm the coach of the national team why I would pick a guy who doesn't get a game.
Because
the
you don't have because it clearly says you don't have other options, right?
Or is it a case, Steve, where you say you can come
in? It's not that he can't get a game. It's that he's been frozen out.
Yeah, but you can come in for the national team in a Gold Cup, score, and then maybe that puts you in the spotlight to get him to Mexico. I know it's backwards and it's upside down. I agree with you 100%.
Another thing is, this guy is not the type of guy who can get away with not playing.
Yeah.
Right.
The size he is.
Can anybody?
Some guys can.
But over the last 2 years, he's hardly played.
Yeah, he's got to get fit. Obviously, he has to get fit.
At some point, Seb, you've got to churn out over 25 games a season. You've got to be physically ready to perform for your club and then go on to that next level, which is your country. You can't be playing hardly any games in two years and playing for your country.
And we've all known those players. We've all known those players who just work so hard. They try to get fit, and then the body breaks down, and they start over again. And you know, but I agree. Josie's got to get himself fit playing, but it seems upside down that you're going to get that opportunity with the national team to get yourself fit.
If Greg's thinking about bringing him in, that tells you the bad shape the forward line has, his choices.
And also maybe who's available, though, as well for Gold Cup, because we know they've played some games. Other players are going to have to go
fight
for their positioning in their clubs. MLS,
it's going to be an MLS roster, effectively, Gold Cup. So it's a smaller pool. You could see why maybe Josie would make it there. You got to imagine if he starts scoring goals in Mexico, going to be awfully hard to keep him off the roster. There it is. Toronto FC without Josie Altidore will be playing tonight as we take a look at the MLS schedule, midweek slate of games. All these games, of course, available for you over on ESPN+.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We will not waste any more time on this edition of ESPN FC. Up next, it is Extra Time. Stevie, Don, Casey, and Frank, pick your questions off Twitter. Stay with us. All right. Welcome back into ESPN FC Extra Time. Give me just 1 second.
Where is he going?
I'm out of here.
Don,
forget you guys.
Hey. Whoa. Hold on. Your last day, you get to host Extra Time.
That'll be his introduction again.
Yeah.
All right.
Hey there, everybody. Welcome into this edition.
Good pace, Abby.
You like that?
Yeah.
Wow.
What was your position, Seth? I see you as a winger.
Left out.
A little right winger. Rapid.
Hey, what a boy. Get some water.
If I'm managing you and I've got to start you next week, where am I starting you?
Real talk?
Where do you want to play?
I'm a 10. Come on.
10! It's a 10.
Give me class. No, I just walk around the middle of the field with a cigarette in my mouth.
Wow. You're not getting a game in my team then. You're out.
No, I was an outside back, yeah.
What's that, winger?
Like a left. No, like a left back.
I don't know what that is.
Right back. Right defender. In a back four?
Right, so right back.
Right back, yeah.
It's called a fullback.
Sorry. You know, we did call it a fullback here for a while, and then we just started calling it a back. First question, are we still a fan of Euro refereeing? Today was kind of a mess, wasn't it?
Yeah, the penalties were bad.
Yeah.
Got away from them. Really enjoyed what they did in the early games. And then it's gotten away from them a little bit.
The VAR didn't help the referee today.
No.
And don't you feel like there's some points when a ref just has to go to a monitor to confirm his own either mistake or correct call?
There's your problem. So often it's...
Why? Because they'll just... The ego won't allow it?
Correct.
Can I just stick up for them for 1 second?
Wow.
Because I think we all agree that a big decision, you should go straight to the bar. And then they throw in this not obvious thing just to... But I will say that I think the reason for this... Because we try and figure out why they would do this. It's like everything else.
they don't want to open up a can of worms mm-hmm. because right now it's set in stone. This is what we use VAR for. And I'm going to guess that if they start opening it up, then of course somebody else will want a bit more, and then somebody else will want a bit more. So I think the Mbappe
one. Do you feel it's gotten better though, VAR
Definitely.
Over the last? I agree 100%.
I think it's got better.
Yeah.
But when you want VAR to step in and help the referee and the referee to look at the monitor, you want him in the big decisions.
Yeah.
The Kingsley Coman one.
Right.
That's the one that leaves you scratching your head, going, yeah. "Come on, we've all
played
the game."
Well, the Mbappe
one
too, right?
The Mbappe one.
Mbappe
one as well.
That's obvious.
That's the match one. That's the one where
worry, Seb. When you say there, that's obvious. That's why that clear and obvious terminology drives me mad.
Right.
I think it gives everyone
the get out clause.
The get out clause.
Steve, you mentioned as anybody as a player, it was clear and obvious.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
So it's the get out clause that leaves you going, oh.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the one with Mbappe. You can't imagine how there's three people with referee accreditations sat around that and not said, hey, somebody, you got to take a second look at this.
He's kidding us a little bit.
Do referees at the end of games where the results don't matter as much not call as many fouls or pens? The Coman penalty shout looked clearer than the other three penalties, and it wasn't given. Do refs just want to go home at the end of games? Is that what we're suggesting?
Well, I think we're all questioning how that last one wasn't called.
Yeah.
We all agreed that it was probably the clearest penalty of the bunch.
Right.
It's a great question, though, because it's like the referee's gone, it's 2-2. Nothing's up.
Right.
Nothing's
Everybody's gone through from this.
Everything's
I'm not going to get killed from this.
But that would suggest the ref knows what he's done. Right?
Weren't you just sticking up for the
ref? He just stood up for him.
I was sticking up for the committee.
The committee.
I was sticking up for the committee that organises VAR, not the actual referee himself.
All right. Ronaldo's now the equal top international goal scorer, quite a few goals ahead of Messi. But is it fair to compare the two's international stats when Messi plays Chile, Colombia, Brazil, while Ronaldo has to play Luxembourg, Kosovo,
Liechtenstein,
and Kazakhstan?
Of course you can.
You can't.
Of course you can.
You can't just pull out Luxembourg, Kosovo, and Kazakhstan, and you forget about Belgium and Italy and England and all the teams that he's played.
But there's no weak South American qualifiers.
But then you could argue Ronaldo's won the Euros and Messi's won what with Argentina?
Nothing.
No, just
Olympics.
The final.
Yep.
Exactly.
Well, that tells you how that is if you see the teams that Argentina have
always not performed.
And they haven't won it. And
who's best? Who's best between the two?
Messi.
Oh, here we go.
Is he?
We got Frank still with us, I think. No? Oh, no, Frank's not here. Sorry.
Bye, Frank. Good.
I was just going to toss to Frank. And,
bonjour.
He's still upset.
That's right. has this Euros been a bit of a damp tournament for top strikers?
No, because I think they'll get going.
I mean, Lukaku's gone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you said top strikers.
Let it go. Let it go.
I picked Harry Kane in 18 World Cup to be the Golden Boot winner, and he didn't let me down.
Yep.
So I kept with that, and we haven't seen it yet. Yep.
I've gone Lukaku. Top scorer.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah, me too. Strong.
Yeah.
But we still haven't seen Mbappe yet. Obviously helping Benzema.
Benzema
get off
hasn't
the mark.
Been like I thought when you add him, then the France attack would
he
just.
He gets
explode.
No love, does he, Benzema?
No, but I mean, has he been great in this tournament?
Can't be bad.
Nobody might be the top scorer.
What's Ronaldo got? 4 goals now?
Can't be bad.
But he might be the top scorer.
Benzema.
You don't think
Benzema's played well?
No, I would have thought we'd get more of the French attack with him at it.
But I think
maybe you're saying it's down to other players, but
for France to maybe break out and beat somebody like Spain did today.
Well, who's got France to finish in the final? I think all of us.
All of us.
Yeah. Therefore, Benzema's going to get a lot of chances from now to the final.
Until all right. Spain beats him in the quarters.
Oh, with their very much informed striker, of course.
Oh, yes. Morata will get a hat trick.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that just be the justice? Casey, after Dubravka's error today, how much of a role does the sun play for goalies? Should he have been wearing a cap? I have worn a cap,
but you saw the funky part about the stadium was you saw where the sun was kind of partially shade, sun.
It looked like half of the, from this side, half the goal was in the shade.
But when you saw, he was in the shade, and then when he jumped, he was in the sun, and then he was back down out of the shade.
You think that's what did it to him?
I think it didn't help him, but
I liked what you said earlier.
Ask him.
I liked what you said earlier in the show when you said, I'm not used to facing the goal. It's a little bit funky. It's a little bit weird, a little bit kind of strange.
Exactly. I don't know why he didn't kind of, yeah, well.
Seve, I can remember having a mare in a Liverpool game. And it might have been Stevie, but there were so many, you know, big names like Stevie and John Barnes and Ian Rush and all the big guys that I was playing with. And I had a mare and a ball was coming right towards me and I lost it in the sun. And I literally just went like that.
It's a bad feeling, isn't it?
Horrible. And you literally can't see. Your eyes, a ball goes in behind and someone scored. And I was walking off the pitch and someone went, what happened there? And I went, I couldn't see, man. I said, the sun just got me. And they went, do not say that to Graeme Souness.
Yeah.
Do not say I couldn't see the ball because of the sun.
What do you the same with Ronnie. I said that to Ronnie once. He was like, what are you talking about?
Exactly.
And he should have known because he's
so
played
lame.
On,
well,
he's just, played on
like
Anfield.
The fans are
so all
lame,
of you
it?
Go outside tomorrow, stare at the sun, and then go drive your car and see how well that goes
but
for
if you.
You.
But, if you but you know what
but
social media is like
I know exactly
now.
What you're saying.
If you go on the telly now after a game
with an excuse,
and you're Dubravka and I couldn't see for the sun, you imagine social media.
Correct.
Oh, there'd be memes everywhere.
What do you do in the aftermath of that, either as a manager or as like a teammate? Do you not say anything?
Well, you saw immediately what they did. One of the teammates went
well, the teammate, I think it was the teammate that made the bad pass that led to it, went over and was like, all right.
I did it at Notts County when I was a coach.
Yeah.
I was interim coach, played a game. Goalkeeper,
Chuck
hadn't played that many games, and it was similar to that, but it was like
just a bad.
He tried to do that, and he actually hit it in the back of the net. Disaster, right? So he said nothing after the. Nobody says anything. No. Monday morning, called him in, and he came into the office, and he thought he must have thought he was going to get blasted, right? And I said, by the way, just to let you know, you're playing on Wednesday, so forget about that. And his face lit up.
Get him right back on the horse.
Oh, his face lit up. And he was fine.
Yeah, we were talking about it on set. And Coleman was, you know, Chris was talking about it's one thing in a league. And you've got 38, 46 matches if you're in the championship. And a mistake is just one of...
Millions.
Millions, right? But in that small window of three matches to get results, you need your striker to score that goal, you need that goalkeeper to make that save. It's very rarely in that small section of matches will you be able to recover from a mistake like that, and obviously they weren't able
to. And after my performance yesterday, when I was in goal for Sheffield United against Ipswich, which we showed Casey, and I give the most ludicrous goal away ever.
Is that the one where you just fell on your face?
Yes. I can never, ever have a go at a goalkeeper ever again.
You just, and that, if you're in those shoes, do you just want nobody to say anything to
you? No, you understand. I mean, look, Dubravka's had a great season for Newcastle. He's been around
he's
the block.
He's one of their best players, players, yeah.
He's made big mistakes before. If you play enough games, you're going to have those mistakes. The problem is when you just hope it's not in such a huge event.
Getting away with it.
You do it in a league game, then maybe your team scores a winner and nobody cares about it. And everyone just kind of jokes about it. It's when it's on such a huge focal point at 0-0 at that time, it's...
Imagine how crazy you would be if me and Stevie went, what you should have done there, Casey Wood? You should have done this, you should have done that. You go, get out.
Or even I'm wondering if, like, even when you come over to kind of put your arm around him, if he's just like, nah.
No, you got to leave him alone. Hey,
you just don't talk to him.
You got to leave him alone.
You just want to dig a hole and jump in
it.
I mean, that's all you want to do.
Do you guys still have France as your favorites? Was France always your favorite?
France were always my favorite, but for some reason, at the spur of the moment, I said Spain were going to beat them. So
it's pressure.
France.
Have they impressed you the most? Or are you just saying that because you know they're the best team?
No. I think they've got more gears to go through, Seppi. I think when you watch them and you look at the individuals, and they're all ridiculously world-class players, they're the world champs, and you watch them and you think, if they turn it on, they can smash anyone in this tournament. Mm. They're that good.
But for me, I think Italy's been the most impressive of the opening round.
Fair enough.
But France, that squad, it's hard to bet against that squad.
There's not many better front sixes than what France have got. Yeah. You know, if it's Rabiot and Kante and Pogba, And then you look at the forward three and Griezmann and Mbappe and Benzema, you think that's impressive.
Defensively, they've got the pace to cope, where we've talked about the frailties of Germany. If Hummels has to play, you talked about Belgium and maybe the back three. If they get stuck having to defend one-on-one, maybe they don't have the pace against the big boys. So, but
what's
that
the weakness?
French team.
What's the weakness for France? Is there one?
If you're going to try and pull a weakness, I would say the goalkeeper with the two centre-backs. Mm-hmm.
We were talking about that today watching a game. Lloris is always kind of, he's good for one.
He's good for one, still a good goalkeeper. I think the weakness is themselves. I think if they're...
That's what you say when the team doesn't have a weakness.
Because there's a history there too. Yeah, exactly. Casey's right. You know there's a history with the French. They can have a wobble. That they can.
We saw a picture. Was it here or was it when we were in the other room? So a picture of Kimpembe and Varane smashing each other, going for the same ball.
Right. Yeah.
That picture tells you that the communication wasn't there. So, but then we're stretching here.
Yeah, we are stretching.
We're stretching a little.
Yeah. For all, given the matches played so far, what is your ideal or most anticipated final? Let's go like the one you'd most like to see, not maybe what you picked in your bracket. The most attractive, the best final for the neutral. Who would it be?
Ooh. You got to get back to then seeing who actually were the
right.
Who can actually play?
Just give me two teams. Just give me the two teams you'd love to see in a final. Forget the brackets.
Holland, France.
You think that'd be the best?
I think that would be a 4-3 game.
Nice, Stevie.
Yeah, can't argue with that.
Yeah, it's not a bad shout, right?
Can't argue with that.
You know the Dutch are capable of shipping some goals, but they can score too.
England at home at Wembley.
Oh, Scotland's still in it. England, Scotland, 0-0.
Hey, we got a bet right. Remember, they asked us a question on extra time.
Which?
How many goals will Scotland score?
Yeah.
And you only said one.
Yeah.
And the question was, can they do two? And we went, I don't think. Maybe that'd be a bit of a stretch.
That's the next tournament.
Final question: has Stevie ever witnessed paranormal activity?
Ooh. I thought you meant the movie Paranorman.
No.
I've seen that. Kids' movie, it's fantastic.
I don't know how loose or strict we're being with the definition of paranormal, but have you ever witnessed paranormal activity?
I'm not sure.
You guys have heard about all like the UFO stuff that's about to
come out of
the government.
I'm not sure.
So into
I was living,
it. Are
I
we
was,
weird? Is that a weird
no,
thing?
No, I love that stuff.
Super into it.
It must be.
Stevie, you believe in UFOs?
I thought we were talking about paranormal. Now you're
talking about paranormal and making... UFOs. Not... Oh,
hold on a minute.
It's like ghost
stuff. What host asks you a question, and then just as you're going to answer it,
then he starts...
goes and asks somebody else another question.
Sorry, you were saying?
You're not sorry. He said sorry, but you're not really.
Go on, go on. I reckon you've got a story.
No, when I went to Sheffield Wednesday, I lived in a barn. Not full of
the,
hair.
The converted
like
barn.
Just a,
yeah.
A converted barn. And I'm not sure whether I saw a wee girl or not.
Okay.
Standing on the stairs one night.
Holy mackerel.
But I'm not sure.
What? Give me the, like, you woke up one day and she was there. She say anything to you?
It was after a game, so it was probably early hours in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
I'd had a couple of beers.
I was going to say, was there a pint or two involved in that?
And then I was going up the stairs, and as I was going up the stairs, there was a room on the left, and just standing in front of the door, I thought I saw... just a wee girl, but I'm not sure.
And then she wasn't there? Was there any history of haunting in this barn? Did anyone tell you?
Not that
no. Nothing? You?
Not that no.
I had one.
Really?
I've got a friend of mine, a guy called Gordon Ellis, who is Sunderland's physio, lives in Durham in Newcastle, or just outside of Newcastle, beautiful area. And he's got
familiar with Durham.
And he's got this old-fashioned house, which is literally yards from a church. And I went there for the weekend with my girlfriend. And I went, what room am I in, Gordon? He went, I'm going to put you in the room. On the right-hand side, the last one on the right-hand side, but I'm going to put you in, he's a bit of a joker, and he went, but there is a ghost in that room. So I was a bit like, thought he was messing around. So we'd had a few drinks the night before, and he went, I'm going to write down on a bit of paper exactly what's going to happen to you in the middle of the night. So he wrote down on a bit of paper, and he put it on there, and then he turned the cup upside down, and he put it like that, and he went, we won't touch that till tomorrow morning. In the middle of the night, I shouted, and a cat jumped off one of the wardrobes, onto our bed, me and my girlfriend's bed. We jumped up like that. There was no cat. But we both screamed like a cat had jumped off a wardrobe.
You saw it.
Didn't see it.
Felt it.
In the morning, we went down, went like that, and on the bit of paper, he went, ghost cat. There'll be a ghost cat in your room.
I can't believe he actually told you there was a ghost in the room and you went and said, hey, that's fine.
No, because he was like saying, it's friendly, don't worry, you know, it's not a harmful ghost. It's a cat. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Oh, aye. Friendly eye.
But I felt a jump.
Oh, aye.
From something high up.
No chance it was like a prank or something, that he had something like...
That'd be tough.
I mean, that'd be a good prank, wouldn't it?
Without like a...
I still can't believe you actually went and stayed in the room. Straight away, you'd be like, ah, no, you're all right.
The next night.
No, that was the night, and then we went back the next day. But he had it under the cup.
Yeah.
That's done the paper, and he went, ghost cat.
Nice.
I like it.
Yeah, that's...
We had it, we thought, in Germany, in the castle, we thought that the lights were doing some funky stuff, and, you know, this castle was old, and so we're kind of thinking, oh, and then... Just a bad switch. Change the switch. Lights never happened again. Oh, never. Dude. I know. It was anticlimactic. Very.
No. Nothing paranormal. No. Nothing. Nothing.
Any sightings?
How old was the castle?
Built originally by the Franks in 970.
Awesome. Something must have happened there.
Yeah. I love the Halloween sound effects in the background. It's fantastic.
I hope we can have this on actually while we're doing this.
It's actually going the whole show.
I think this was in Dubrovka's ear. Right? Yeah. Have to hit that ball.
All right, so, thank you, Oliver, for the question. Great stuff.
Great question.
We get to paranormal activity here and quite a story from Don. Don, we're going to miss you.
I'll miss you guys as well, you know.
I know.
But a great 2 weeks.
We had to cut Frank off because he's got to be on a 6 a.m. flight to get over here and try to fill your shoes. But
he'll be good. Frank will be good.
He'll be all right. Nothing like our nights out in West Hartford, though.
Pardon?
Nothing.
No. He's not going to be as good as me and you in West Hartford.
No. We are live tomorrow, I'm told, at 5 p.m. Eastern Time.